Finish tonight to read the scripture to you and chat about it. And then we're going to close our Bibles and I'm going to apply the scripture to the situation in Yugoslavia as I promised Sunday night that I would do. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 10, please. Genesis chapter 10. Verse number 8. We're going to read quite a few verses now. Make some comments about those verses. Genesis 10:8. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. I want you to notice that. I'm going to stop in chapter 10 right there and go to chapter 11. But I want you to notice, stop with the word Babel. The beginning of the kingdom of Nimrod was Babel. Now in chapter number 11 and verse number 1. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. Now that means that everybody on the face of the earth talked the same language. Now that sounds like a good idea, but God doesn't like it. I want you to notice. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. They said one to another, go to, let us make brick, burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city. Now I want you to notice, a city means a government. Let us build us a government, a political, secular government. Now notice, and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. Now I want you to notice, two things are building there. They're building a city, that's political. They're building a tower whose top reach unto heaven, that's religious. So now we have, this is Babel, if you please. The word Babel means confusion, which has nothing to do with our Bible study, really. But the Babel is a two-headed kingdom, a political kingdom, that's the city they're going to build, and a religious kingdom, that is the religion that they're going to build. And so you have politics and religion. Now then look at verse number 5. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. Hey, that sounds good. That's what you hear all the time, isn't it? Boy, we need to become one. Well, let's see what God thinks about that. The city is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they've imagined to do. Go to, this is God talking now, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Now, why was this? Because God wanted to divide them into nations according to their speech. And it says in verse number 8, so the Lord scattered them, now, abroad from thence under the face of all the earth, and they left off to build a city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. Now you have the same Babel. A Nimrod started a system called Babel, a system of a one-world government and a one-world religion also. The city they builded, and then the tower to reach unto heaven. Now, that's the beginning of Babel. Now, all throughout the Bible, you have this kingdom of Babel. It's more than a... Of course, there was a place called Babylon, but there is a philosophy, a Babel philosophy, or Babylonian philosophy. It is the centralization of power. And now turn, please, to Revelation chapter number 17. Revelation chapter number 17. And look at verse number 3. Revelation 17:3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Notice this. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon. There it is now. Babylon. Started back in Genesis chapter 10. I'm going all the way. Doctrine of Babylon, this philosophy of Babylon, if you please. And now look at it. mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abominations of the earth. Look at me now. What's the abomination of the earth? When the world has one language. What's the abomination of the world, or of the earth? When the world has one government. When everybody gets together. God says that is an abomination. Now look, please, at chapter 18 and verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon is the great, is fallen, is fallen. Now, why did it say Babylon is fallen? It means in the end time, the one world government's going to fall, and the one world church is going to fall. And so it says, Babylon the great is fallen, and become the habitations of habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Look at chapter 19 and verse number 10, please. Chapter 19 and verse number 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. I'll look at it in a minute. This beast is the person that's going to head up the worldwide political government someday. And the false prophet is, I think, the Pope in Rome, whenever this time comes, that will head up a worldwide religious system one day. Now, God does not want a world council of churches, and God does not want a national council of churches. God is not a God of unified power. God is a states' rights God and not a centralization of power God. And so, it says in verse number 20, and the beast, that's the government head of that city, that Babel, political Babel, was taken, and with him the false prophet, that's the leader of religious Babel, started when the tower was built, and they tried to build the tower to heaven, that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and the worship of his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone. Now, listen carefully. The end time is going to be a time of unification of nations and the unification of religions. Now, why do religions unify? Religions unify because they don't believe anything anymore. I mean, the Methodists don't believe what Methodists used to believe. They don't believe anything. And Presbyterians don't believe what Presbyterians used to believe. So why shouldn't they unite? They unite on their doctrine that they have? No, they unite on the doctrine they don't have. Is what it is. They don't have any conviction, they have no standards and so forth. And God is not a union God. He is for voluntary cooperation. By the way, God is even against denominations. God only started local, independent, New Testament Baptist churches, and our cooperation should be voluntary without any union, without any organization, and without any coercion or any blacklisting of somebody that doesn't cooperate with our movement and so forth. So we're going to talk tonight about Yugoslavia, and I'll come in the study after a while. I'll cross the path we've just been walking. Father, bless our study tonight, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, Father, bless our study as we enter into the Word of God and its application to our lives now. Amen. Let me, before I enter into the Yugoslavian thing, let me take about 2 minutes and elaborate on what I just said. Why is it that God is opposed to union? That's a wonderful word, union. Let's all be one. But that's the devil's word, not God's word. Now, why is it that God is opposed to union? I'll tell you exactly why. If everybody gets together, then one person or one segment can pull. Okay, if everybody's linked together in a chain, then the whole chain goes under when one part goes under. And if all the churches get together. Okay, let me give an example here. Many of our states in America have fought had a battle over the right for Christian schools not to be accredited by the government, the state government, or a secular accreditation such as the North Central Association. Now, they have fought for our right not to be accredited. Now, follow me. Here's what's happened. What has happened is they have lost the battle, and yet they came up with a compromise measure, and that is that they formed their own accrediting association, like say, 100 Baptist schools in a certain state will form their own accrediting association, which means that those 100 schools in that state must conform to the regulations of this Christian Baptist Fundamental Accreditation Board. But what they don't understand, God bless their stupid souls, what they don't understand is that it's not state accreditation that's wrong. It's any accreditation that's wrong. It's when any outside interference starts running a church or a Christian school, because if one goes down, they all go down together. I am as much, now hear me carefully, I am as much opposed to a Christian accrediting association as I am a secular accrediting association. It is the accrediting association that's wrong. Nobody has a right to tell Hammond Baptist schools what they teach or what they do. Don't misunderstand me. They do have a right to see to it we don't hurt anybody, which means that we should be sure our kids are inoculated. We should be sure that our schools are safe, and so forth. And the sanitation group have come out to check us, and there's nothing wrong with that. And the fire department comes to check our safety and so forth. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not accreditation. Accreditation is when a group of people say, okay, they come and check your library and see if your library meets their approval. Well, it's nobody's business what kind of library we have at Howells Anderson College and so forth. Now, follow me carefully. Set up straight. I'm not going to talk long, but I'm going to talk to you about the situation in Yugoslavia. The entire situation in Kosovo and Yugoslavia tonight, the entire situation is much like that of the Middle East. In fact, most of your conflicts in the world tonight are over two peoples claiming the same land. That's the Middle Eastern problem. Now, you know as well as I know what that's all about. Abraham had a son out of wedlock. His name was Ishmael. God had promised Abraham with Abraham's seed, the Holy Land and the Bible lands, and the land all the way from the Euphrates River on one side to Egypt on the other side. And from Mount Hermon on one side, all the way down to Kadesh Barnea on the other end. And so God had promised that to Abraham's seed. Well, Abraham didn't figure on having a son outside of wedlock. And so he got this gal, Hagar, pregnant. She had a boy named Ishmael. And Ishmael said, the land is mine. It was promised Abraham's seed. Then Sarah, Abraham's wife, had a son. His name was Isaac. And Isaac said, it's my land because I am the promised seed. So each had, as it were, a claim to the land of Israel, land of Palestine. You follow me? Ishmael had a claim. He was the firstborn son. Isaac had a claim. He was the son of promise. And the battle you're having in the Middle East tonight, and always has been for these many, many, many years and centuries, and a few millenniums, if you please, has been over whose land is the land of Israel. You go to Israel right now. The old temple site is now a mosque, if you please, which means that the Muslims consider Jerusalem as their headquarters, and the Christians consider Jerusalem as their headquarters, and you might add the Catholics to that. And you got three Greek people say that's our religious heritage headquarters and so forth. But you got two groups of people. The Arabs, descendants of Ishmael, half Egyptian, half Jew, say, the land is ours. Ishmael was the firstborn son. And the Jews, from Isaac, say, no, the land is ours. He was the son of promise. And so you have that battle. Now, all that to say this, the same thing that is happening in the Middle East is happening in Kosovo. Now, let me give you first four definitions. Kosovo. I'm going to let this pulpit right here represent the country of Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia is not as wide. It's proportionally, it's much longer than it is wide than this pulpit. But I want you to look right about in the middle of this pulpit, right down at the bottom there, and picture, if you would, about 1/8, maybe, of this pulpit. Kosovo is a little, I call it a precinct, for want of a better word, at the very southern tip of Yugoslavia. Now then, we've got Kosovo settled. It's a little precinct-like place in the southern tip of Yugoslavia. Now, let's define the term Serbs. The Serbs are the people who dominate Yugoslavia. Now, I could, and many of you could, go back to their the origin, the battles they've had, back to the Ottoman Turks, and all that stuff, but that's not what I'm talking about tonight. That won't help us any. The Serbs are Slavic people who dominate Yugoslavia. They are Orthodox Christians. I don't mean fundamental Christians now, but they are Orthodox Christians, now get this, who claim Kosovo as their holy land. Kosovo is to the Orthodox Christians of Yugoslavia, the Serbs, if you please, the same thing that Jerusalem is and Palestine is to those of us who are born-again believers. It is their holy land and the cradle of their religion. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's why the Serbs want Kosovo so badly, because it is their holy land. All right? Kosovo, the land in southern Yugoslavia. The Serbs, the Slavic people who inhabit most of Yugoslavia and are Orthodox Christians to whom Kosovo is their holy land. Now let's go to the third definition, the Albanians. You've heard a lot about the Albanians. That's the crowd that's fleeing Kosovo. That's the crowd that's being killed and slaughtered and now lifted out and coming to places like Guantanamo Bay in Cuba and other places so they'll be salvaged. That's the crowd that is being, they're calling them the Second Holocaust. What the Germans did to the Jews, they're saying that the Serbs are doing the same thing to the Albanians. Now, who are the Albanians? I won't go into their history way back yonder, but it is a tribal people who make up most of Kosovo, that little place down there at the south of Yugoslavia. Most of the citizens in Yugoslavia are Serbs. But in the Kosovo part of Yugoslavia, if in fact it is, the Albanians are way in the majority there. 1.8 million Albanians lived in Kosovo. Now, the Serbs are greatly outnumbered in Kosovo, but that's their holy land. That's back down there years ago when the Arabs, Jordan, if you please, had the old city of Jerusalem. Well, the Jews were angry. Well, they said, that's the cradle of our religion. That's our holy land, if you please. And they fought in the Seven-Day War and got the old city back again. Now, the Serbs, who inhabit all the rest, if you please, of Yugoslavia, want Kosovo back because it is their holy place. But they're a great minority, a little tiny minority of the population down in Kosovo is, if you please, Serbian. It is predominantly Albanian. Now, we found Kosovo is that little place at the south of Yugoslavia. The Serbs, the Slavic people who inhabit most of Yugoslavia, but are a minority in Kosovo, and the Albanians, by the way, the country of Albania is just south of Kosovo as on one side, Macedonia is on the other side. But the Albanians have migrated across from Albania, and they are the great population of Kosovo. Now, we have defined Kosovo, we have defined the Serbs, we have defined the Albanians. Now let's define NATO. Some of you have heard about NATO all these years, and many of you do not know what. Put your pens up, please. No note taking. No note taking, son. Hey, no note taking. Put your pens up. I want you to listen to me now. I'm talking to you, and I want you to listen to me. All right. What's NATO? The North American Treaty Organization. That's what NATO, North American Treaty Organization, is composed of the United States and Canada and 17 other nations, most of whom are Western European nations. Now, what is the purpose of this NATO? Well, to make it very simple, it has become a world police department. That's what it's become. Now, we're back now to Genesis 10, Revelation 17, 18, 19. It's become a world police department. And by the way, basically, it's dominated by the United States. Listen to me now. I'll get to that after a while. NATO is a puppet controlled by the United States. If you don't believe that, you let NATO try to tell the United States what to do. In fact, they have done so. They have ruled, NATO has ruled against our interference with other nations in the past, and we have not listened to NATO. We use NATO as a convenience and a facade to hide behind. We want to fight a battle and give NATO the credit and the blame, if it were, for the fighting of that battle. Now, the battle for Kosovo has been going on for centuries between the Serbs and the Albanians. At the end of World War II, Kosovo was granted self-rule within Yugoslavia. Now, follow me carefully. They were considered Yugoslavia, but they were granted self-rule. I guess the best way to explain that is the British Empire. The British Empire, what's left of it, still has people that are part of the British Empire, but they are self-governing people. In 1945, when World War II ended, Kosovo, the Albanians in Kosovo, were given self-government. In 1974, they were granted total autonomy. In 1989, Yugoslavia decided to strip Kosovo of its autonomy. In 1996, the Albanians in Kosovo decided to fight for their freedom and fight for the right to be a republic or a nation, if you please, and began to fight for their independence. So there has been a off and on war going on for 3 years or so between, well, for centuries, but the most recent, between the Serbs who live basically in Yugoslavia and the Albanians who live basically in Kosovo over the land in Kosovo. Now what's happened is this. Kosovo, the Albanians there had become helpless. They cannot match with power and military might the Serbians. So the Serbians are fighting because they want Kosovo. It's their holy land. Just like Israel wanted Christians wanted Jerusalem, the Serbs want Kosovo. It is the cradle of their religion. It is their holy place, their holy land, if you please, and they want it. So what they're doing is they're trying to extradite all the Albanians out of Kosovo so the Serbs can control Kosovo and all of what now is left of Yugoslavia. Now, listen carefully. In so doing, admittedly, there have been atrocities, and I'm not pro-Serbian here, so don't get your dandruff up. I'm not pro-Serbian here. But admittedly, there have been atrocities. Unbelievable. Look at the newspaper and see the pictures you see in the newspaper. And see those for example, one-fourth of the population of Kosovo, of the Albanians, have already tried to escape. And some have escaped down to Albania. Some have tried to escape to Macedonia, which no longer wants them in great numbers. And they've tried to get out. And so what's happened is this. The United States, behind the facade called NATO, has said, you will not do that. So we are now bombing Yugoslavia in an effort to get Yugoslavia to pull out of Kosovo and let us send a team of referees, if you please, umpires, to decide the fate of Kosovo. So the whole picture is, here is a little piece of ground that the Albanians have that the Serbians want because it's their holy place or their holy land, if you please. Now then, the Albanians are fleeing Kosovo. One-fourth have fled, half a million have fled to neighboring nations. And now then, other nations are coming to their rescue. As I said a while ago, our Guantanamo base in Cuba, the United States there. We're putting some there. We're flying in all kinds of help and lifting all those folks out we can and getting them out of Kosovo. In the meantime, we're bombing Yugoslavia, trying to bring Yugoslavia to its knees so they'll quit slaughtering and persecuting and the Albanian people. Now, observations. Number one, I am, mark it down, I am pleased that we're helping the hurting Albanians. I'm pleased about that. We're giving them food. We're trying to get, not just us, but France and other nations are giving, trying to get food to them and trying to get water to them and medicine and even lifting them out. I am pleased about that. But there's nothing wrong if my neighbor over here is having trouble with me taking him some food. If somebody attacks him over there, there's nothing wrong with me going over to my neighbor and trying to defend my neighbor. But there is something wrong with the neighborhood getting together and deciding whom we'll defend. And there's nothing wrong with a nation saying we're going to send food to the Albanians and we're going to take some of the Albanians all we can and free them and let them migrate to the nation. Nothing wrong with that. But NATO is unscriptural. I said NATO is unscriptural. NATO is nothing more than a police force to police the world. Now, go back to Genesis chapter 10. One government, that's God was against it. God is against one world government. God is against the United Nations. I said God is against the United Nations. And if he weren't against it, he would have turned on it when Albright got in there as Secretary of State. More recently as the as our representative in the United Nations, but ambassador. But I'm saying that God never has been centralized power never has been. If a denomination goes bad, the whole denomination goes bad. But let's suppose I'll pick out somebody. Suppose Bob Gray went bad. He's the first thought I had when I. Let's suppose Bob Gray went bad. Now, that's not going to hurt us. But let's suppose that we were in the same movement together and we're connected to that movement and one of us went bad. That's going to affect all of us, don't you see? So God is for independent churches. He's not for centralized power. He's not for denominate. Every year for 36 years at pastor school, and this is no exception, folks have come to me and said, why don't you start a Northwide Baptist Fellowship? And I'll say, that's what I've started. We have a Worldwide Baptist Fellowship here. But it's not an organization. How can you tell if a bunch of churches have gotten together and gone too far, if they have to read the minutes? We have pastor school, and we say, y'all come. Everybody comes who wants to come. Black cafeteria. Bob Gray has his soul winning thing. Hey, y'all come. Everybody comes who wants to come. But every single church ought to be, hear me now, that's why I'm opposed to the Southern Baptist Convention. That's why I'm opposed to the American Baptist Convention. That's why I'm opposed to what the Baptist Bible Fellowship has become and is more and more becoming. A union of churches, that's why I'm opposed to the United Nations, that's why I'm opposed to the NATO. These 19 nations get together. Now, the question then comes, should the United States bomb or intervene? Now, NATO should not bomb or intervene because NATO is anti-God, anti-Bible. It is a continuation of Babylon, one nation, one world government, one world police force, and NATO is simply a preparation for the end time when the Antichrist, and by the way, the Antichrist is going to come from the Western powers, and the Antichrist will come to rule an organization like NATO or the European Common Market, if you please, like NATO, and they will govern, try to govern the whole world. And that's why when Russia comes down in Ezekiel 38, when Russia comes down on Palestine, that's why the Western powers are going to come to fight against her, because we will have been organized for that. All right, now. So NATO is wrong. I mean, totally wrong. I mean, Burgerman, wrong. It's wrong. It's wicked. It's unscriptural. It's the Babel of Genesis 10. Let us build us a city. Let's all have one language. Let's all get together. That's wrong. Okay, now then, let's come to our country. Should we then, as a nation, bomb Yugoslavia? Let me make it very plain. I'm opposed to what they're doing to the Albanians. Very plain. Also, let me make it very plain that probably the Albanians have as much right to claim Kosovo as the Serbians do. and a servitude. Ladies and gentlemen, it's impossible. One nation cannot police the world. Have you read that we're running short right now of missiles? If we use all of our missiles up in Yugoslavia, what's going to happen if something breaks out somewhere? And it will break out somewhere else. Whether or not we should police the world isn't the issue. No one nation is able to police the world. If so, how about Cuba? Why have we been bombing Cuba for the last 40 years? Folks have been escaping Cuba. They've been swimming to freedom, hiding in airplane luggage compartments to get to freedom, hiding in the bottom of ships to get to freedom. They've been persecuted. You heard me talking to Pastor Schumer. You heard me before about the lady whose father was on Castro's cabinet, and she told me that her pastor was killed in her front yard, and she heard the firing squad say, ready, aim, fire. She heard the bullets. She heard her pastor groan. She heard his body thud on the floor. Why didn't we go down to Cuba? Would you like to know why? Because America does not defend that which she thinks should be defended. America defends that which is in our own interest. Why are we more interested in Iraq than other parts of the world? Because of the oil in the Middle East, especially in Iraq and Saudi Arabia and so forth. So, okay, how about China? Listen, brother, what's going on in China in the last 40 years would make what's going on in Kosovo look like a Sunday school picnic. Now, why did we bomb China? How about Russia? Did you hear that Chinese man stand up here at pastor school and tell you that the average Baptist pastor in China spends 19 years of his life in jail? Now, we simply can't. We can't bomb every place that doesn't behave properly. How about Afghanistan? And how about Russia? I was talking to a man in Russia the other day. He said, to this day, there are tens of thousands of Christians who are imprisoned in Soviet Russia. Well, let me ask you a question. Is Christian blood less valuable than Albanian blood? Now, again, I'm opposed to what the Serbians are doing. I'm simply saying America cannot police the whole world, and that NATO is unscriptural. All right, let me ask you this now. And I'm coming to the end. Suppose that NATO someday decides they don't like what the United States is doing. Why, you say, we'd never do anything like that that would cripple all those people and hurt all those people and make them homeless. Did you ever hear of Hiroshima? Did you ever hear of Nagasaki? You listen to me carefully. What that one by... I'm for the bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima. I think it saved more lives than anything else in World War II. I'm for it. I was for it then, I'm for it now. But most of the nations of the world are not for it. And I know what I'm talking about. I was in Hiroshima. I was Japan preaching about 30 years ago. I went to Hiroshima 22 years after the bomb was dropped. I went to a hospital, a giant hospital, occupied only by people who were still suffering from that bomb that was dropped. I talked to a cab driver. I talked to a cab driver. He told me he was a little boy going to school that morning, and the bomb dropped. He's never seen his mama. He's never seen his daddy. He's never seen his house. He was left as a boy running loose with people dying by the thousands and thousands all around him. You say, well, what are you saying? I'm simply saying, suppose the United Nations said to us, you can't do that. You think for a single moment America's going to listen to NATO? You think America's going to listen to NATO? Not on your life. NATO is a convenience organization behind which the United States operates, trying to give the blame for what we do to a group of nations rather than to us, and who, by the way, control. Oh, but you say, Brother Hiles, the head of NATO is not a citizen of the United States. No, he's a puppet of the United States. escort their father. How about the Civil War? Was England supposed to bomb us during the Civil War? Did you ever hear what we did to blacks back in those days? As recent as when I was a boy in the 1930s in Texas, they had what they call Nigger Town in Dallas, Texas. I'll promise you that the conditions that they're living under in Kosovo tonight were no worse than that place they call Nigger Town in Dallas, Texas. Now, I ask you a question. Was NATO supposed to come to bomb America? No, not at all. I'm simply saying that I am opposed to anybody hurting anybody else. But there is nothing that America can do to police the world, and NATO is against the Bible. So what do? Each nation takes care of its own problems. That's all. That's all you can do. Well, the Brother House, what should America do? America should build the strongest army, Marine Corps, Air Force, and the Navy in the whole world, and be prepared for anybody that meddles with us. But regardless of whether we like what's going on in other nations or not, we are not big enough or strong enough to police the world. And a world police force is unscriptural, because that goes back to Genesis chapter 10, all the way over to Revelation chapter number 19. Now let's review. Yugoslavia has a small little precinct-like land down to the south end of it called Kosovo. Kosovo is inhabited by Albanian people almost completely. 1.8 million Albanians live there. The Serbs are a minority there. The rest of modern-day Yugoslavia is inhabited by the Serbs. The Albanians control Kosovo, and they want to be their own nation. And they're fighting to be their own nation. The Serbs say, you can't be your own nation because that's our holy land and that's our sacred spot. So you cannot have it. But the Albanians say, in 1945, we were given our freedom, if you please, self-rule. In 1974, we're given total autonomy. Now you come along 1989 and take away our autonomy from us, and so the Albanians are fighting what they already had that was taken away from them when Tito died. But the Serbs say that's part of Yugoslavia, and we want to control it, and we want the Albanians out of there because that's our holy land. So America, behind the guise of NATO, comes along and says, it's got to stop. And it should stop. It should stop. The honest, simple truth is, in my humble opinion, the Albanians should have Kosovo. It's been theirs for years. They've lived there for decades and centuries. They've lived there. On the other hand, the Serbs say, we want it. It's valuable to us. So there is a war going on, and the Serbs, of course, are the aggressor and the big boy on the block, and they're trying to push the Albanians out of Kosovo. They want the Serbs to come in and be the majority, big majority of inhabitants in Kosovo, so they can have their holy land again, if you please. The United States comes along and says, we'll bomb. You quit persecuting those people. Then the good part comes. We ought to go help our neighbor nations. Now, hear me carefully. NATO should not go help Kosovo. France should go help Kosovo if she wants to. England should go help Kosovo if she wants to. No group of nations ought to get together to help Kosovo. It's sort of like the Red Cross, the United Way here in America. It's the dumbest way in the world to help people. We will send a dollar, give a dollar to somebody, so a quarter will get to the poor fellow next door. Why don't you walk over and give it to him? He gets the whole dollar that way. It's the weakness of centralized power. So, who you for, Brother Hiles? I ain't for nobody. I'm opposed to the philosophy of a world police force. Totally. and so is God. I wish America, I get this, I wish America were strong enough to help free every slave on the face of the earth, get all the Baptist preachers out of jail in China, all the Christians out of prison in Russia, straighten up Cuba, straighten up Iraq, straighten up Afghanistan and other lands. But we can't. There's no way we can. Consequently, the thing for us to do, hey, if we're taking all the money, you know how much money we're spending for the bombs? Somebody said we're spending about $2 million a day. I'm not sure that's right. But it's becoming, I think we've spent $2 billion already. Can you imagine what that could have done to provide food for the Albanians? And an airlift for those who want to leave? And help for all those? The answer is not, by the way, we tried this already in Iraq. And Saddam Hussein is still more popular than it has been. It didn't work there. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to paint ourselves into a corner, and we're going to have another Vietnam as sure as I'm standing here if we don't watch it. We're going to get so far involved that we cannot get out. Now, for example, now then, over 60% of the American people think we ought to send ground troops over there. Now you've got America in a war, you see. And by the way, we're not going to win that war any more than we won the war in Vietnam. It's an impossibility. I guess I just wanted to acquaint you with what's going on. Most of you, I'm sure, knew everything I said tonight. Some of you think Kosovo is a town near Waxahachie, Texas. And I wanted to acquaint you with that. Shall we stand, please?